Why don't you turn with me to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to be picking it up in verse 3 this morning, and we'll be covering verses 3 through 11, just kind of going through, getting a feel for knowing the Lord, and really that assurance that we know the Lord, being sure that we know Him, and what it means, and what the biblical perspective of knowing Him is. We learned in our last study that we are to be the light in the Lord. You know, that's part of what we are, is light. God is light, and we're to be light in Him. That the light of the love of God shines through our lives. And just the importance of that, and the importance of walking in the light. That it's easy to get caught up in the things of this world, and the pressures of this world, and then we're not really walking in light anymore. We're more consumed with the things of the world, and it can get dimmer and dimmer. And so it's important for us to walk in that light. And, you know, when you ever, if you're ever having struggle with relationships and different things, this is the good examination to take in your heart of, man, am I in the light? Am I really walking in intimacy and fellowship with the Lord? Because if we walk in the light, we are going to have fellowship with one another because of the love of Jesus Christ that's within us. And so it's important for us to see that, that that's where the connection is made. We also talked about that basis of our fellowship. And just by way of reminder, what that really means, that Jesus is the core and the center of our gatherings, of our fellowship with each other. He is what we have in common. There's a lot of things maybe we don't have in common, but we have Jesus Christ as our common denominator, and that's what's important. And I think that in ministry, that's what we want to focus on, the fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, Christians can experience something very unique that the world can't experience, and that's that type of koinonia fellowship, that involvement with the Lord, where God is in the midst, and it is something that is supernatural in that sense. It's an awesome thing that God, and we listen and talk with each other and find out the different places and times that you received Jesus Christ, when God made Himself known to you, the things that were happening in your life, in my life, the different circumstances, and yet all over, could have been scattered at all kinds of different places around the country and around the world, and yet we met Jesus Christ, and God made Himself known to us from all kinds of different backgrounds and different things, and yet God revealed Himself to us. That is so awesome. And so that is our fellowship, Jesus Christ being in the center of it all. You know, as we go through, we find that the first couple of chapters we're really discussing, and we'll cover this as we go through our verse by verse, but just knowing the light of God, you know, experiencing, enjoying, knowing the light of God within our lives, knowing the love of God is chapters 3 and 4, so chapters 1 and 2, knowing the light of God, knowing the love of God in chapter 5, and just that simply knowing the life of God, enjoying and knowing the life of God in chapter 5. So that'll be kind of the rough outline that we'll be using as we go through it. But this morning, how do I know if I'm in close fellowship with Him? How do I know if I'm really walking with the Lord? There's so much pseudo-Christianity out there, isn't there? There's so much out there that's just, you know, it's got the name and stuff, but is it really exemplifying Christian convictions and a true walk with Jesus Christ? You know, there's a lot of things out there floating around, and I wonder about this and think about it. And let's go on as we read the first verse, verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Simply, the first thought is, man, do I follow the commands of Jesus Christ? Do I see things the way He sees things? Do I simply do what He says to do? And I don't think it's so easy to get caught up in the I'm forced to, it's an obligation. And He's not talking about commandments in the sense of obligation on a dutiful basis. That's not, you know, a legalistic fashion that He's describing. He's more or less using these terms in the sense of, man, it's something we get to do. We get to follow the Lord. We get to follow in His ways. You know, the things that the Lord's spoken to us, and we'll explain a little bit further as we go along in the study, some of the specifics of these things that He's spoken to us about commands or things that He's said. And we'll get into that even further in our midweek study. But the importance of following the things that Jesus has spoken about. You know, am I aspiring to do that? Is that what God's wanting? It is what he wants, but is that what I want? And I think this is one of the first things that we can put forward is, do we aspire to do those things that he says to do? That's a first thing right off the bat. A lot of times it's this, well, I gave my life to the Lord, I'm a believer, and, you know, that life has changed a little bit, but that's about it. No, it's just the beginning of learning to walk with God and seeing what God has for us. Do I do those things? Is it something that's in my heart? Do I want to do the things that God wants me to do? Do I want to do what Jesus suggests that I do? Do I want to do that? We'll explain as we go through this some of the things that it's tough. We definitely need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives because it's easy for us to just go into our old ways, our old habits, our old thought processes. But the Lord would say, man, no, we want to follow him. So by this we know that we know him. We're sure in our hearts, not just the head knowledge about knowing him, but knowing him in this term here, to know him is in speaking of an intimacy, of a relationship with him. Am I aspiring to know him? And if we keep his commandments, this is a revelation or reveals that we are in fellowship with him. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's pretty bold, I think. Pretty bold statement there of John to say it very clearly. You know, they used to sit around. He was the oldest apostle to, you know, he lived the longest of all of them. All of them had been martyred by now, and he's maybe 100 years old. And many scholars believe that 1 John was the last written letter, that these were the last letters written, and 1 John being one of those ones that was the last one written. And that John was possibly roughly 100 years old at the time. And you can imagine the gatherings as they would wait for John to come, because there was a group that took him around when he was about this age, and he would go to the different fellowships, now modern-day Turkey, but would go into these areas and hook up with the different fellowships. And you can imagine everybody's waiting to hear what, man, let's listen to what this old guy's got to say to us. Man, he's the last living of the apostles. You know, you can imagine, I would be excited, you know, to hear what he has to say and to see him. And history records it as that he would get up and he would say, little children, love one another. And then he'd leave. That would be it. Now, a lot of us would enjoy these type of sermons that are brief and to the point. But it's true, you know, when you think about it, if he says this with the kind of power and conviction and what is meant by that, you know, and what a great statement for us. John is known as just a guy that just had tremendous heart for the Lord and a love for the Lord. And that love transcended everything else and then also splashed out into his interaction with other people. It wasn't just that he loved God, which is awesome, but that he knew God loved him, that he knew Jesus loved him, and that he wanted to reflect that and let Jesus love other people through his life. He understood that that was the power of the Holy Spirit in and through his life, loving other people, touching other people in that way. And I think that's an awesome thing as we see this, as he's writing this type of thing about knowing the Lord and really having fellowship with God. It reflects, you see, first of all, my love for God if I desire to keep his commands. In other words, do I aspire to walk closely with the Lord? So the idea, again, isn't how much can I do whatever I want to do, maintain whatever lifestyle I used to have, and still be saved. Wrong motive, wrong objective, wrong thought process. That's not what God would want to do. That's not the Spirit within you. The Spirit of God within you would be stimulating, saying, hey, what can God add, and what does God want to take away from my life that my life might bring him more honor and glory? So the desire is not just if we were looking and getting involved with a relationship with someone and thinking maybe about marriage coming up. And it's not like, well, how can I be married and still live all my own life by myself the way I want to live? That's not the objective, is it, in getting married? It's the two become one. Well, how can I melt my life together with this other person? How can we share this life together? And this is more what's being described here by John. How can we share that and enjoy that more together? And that's the heart of the Lord and the heart of the apostle as he's writing this to us, sharing this with us. The next thing we find in verse 5 is, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So by this we know that we're having fellowship with the Lord, that we keep his word, and that really reveals, in other words, we're interested in fellowship with the Lord through his word. Not only do we understand or know some of the things that he's commanded for us to do, these instructions that he's given us in our life, but that that word is in our lives and that we're learning more about him, that we're wanting to walk with him, and truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know we are in him. So keeping his word. If you flip with me back over to James, just go back towards the middle of your Bible just a little bit, and you'll find James over there just past 1 Peter. Find James chapter 1, verse 21. James said it this way. He said, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, in verse 21 of chapter 1, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away immediately, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself spotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. So we're to keep ourselves from the things, the pollution that's in the world. And we're, in other words, basically simply stated that if in fact I've received Jesus Christ, if in fact I'm looking into the Word of God and I'm wanting to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm hearing this and it's taking root in my life and there's some kind of outworking of that in my life. You see, I've met many people over the years who have a lot of scripture memorized. They have a lot of head knowledge theologically. But that's not what John's talking about. He's talking about an intimacy of knowing Jesus and allowing Jesus to permeate in and through your life that you might and I might reflect that love, that relationship with the Lord, which is transforming in our lives. So the Word of God is going to be transforming. Keeping his word, following him in this way is really, again, reveals the fact that you and I are experiencing fellowship with the Lord. In other words, our walk and our talk, there's going to be some form of similarity. There's going to be something in line. It's not just verbal stuff. It's not just being able to reiterate certain things or talk, you know, Christianese or any of these other things where we've got all the right jargon down, but we're really not walking with the Lord. It's, man, really having intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. You know, I think it's important to challenge our children. I think it's important to challenge one another with that, to look past words. And you know, I oftentimes it's easy for people to become critical or critiquing others in an inappropriate way, really, frankly. And yet, you know, a lot of times I don't see this coming up off of the table to do jack squat, frankly. I don't think if you're not willing to lift this up, you have much room to say much. That's my opinion, biblically speaking. I think God is interested in those who are listening and hearing and then willing to put forth by the power of the Spirit, not fleshly energies. I'm talking about spiritual energies, allowing the Lord to move through them. Man, as we go through this morning, you'll start seeing that, man, if we really have that heart and we have that approach to it, we're going to find, man, koinonia fellowship is going to flow. But the other critical stuff, I find the most critical people are the ones that do the least. Isn't that fascinating? The most critical people are the ones that do the least. You'll find that to be in all walks of life, you know? And I think it's so important for us to look at this and say, no, man, we want to be those who keep his word. It's a revelation or a revealing of the presence of God in our lives. Let's look at the next thing that we see here in verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. So if we say that we have this fellowship or that we're abiding in him, then we would be following him. Flip with me over to John chapter 15, where he really wrote about this in a really great way, this idea or this concept of abiding, this being in close, intimate fellowship with the Lord. In verse 4 of chapter 15, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and is gathered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." This idea of abiding fellowship. So it's not the concept that we give our lives to the Lord, we say that we're born again, and that's awesome, that's great, it's a great beginning, but it's the beginning. We want to maintain that fellowship or that abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. It is hard to maintain relationship without communication. Relationship without communication doesn't go too well. It's important to maintain communication because there is a process of development and growth happening to each of our lives every day, all the time. And so as we communicate, we stay up to speed with what's going on in one another's lives. We stay in fellowship, in that place of understanding what's happening, what's going on. There's that experience that we have of growing together then. This is what the Lord's desiring in and through our lives, that we would maintain communication with him through prayer, through the study of his word, through waiting on him, listening for him, and enjoying that communication that we experience with one another in him, that God speaks to our hearts through one another also. But this idea here, too, is that if we abide in him, we're also going to be walking in him. Notice what this says in verse 6. He who says he abides in him also ought himself also to walk just as he walked. The only way that I can really walk as he walked, the only way that can really happen, is if, in fact, I am abiding. See, if I'm abiding in this close, intimate fellowship with the Lord, then I'm going to be able to walk as he walked. That's the only way I can, because I can't do it in and of my own abilities or my own power. See, I need him to walk through me in that sense of that it is him doing it, him empowering these decisions and these things going on. So as we abide, we also bear fruit. And that idea of bearing fruit is that we are walking in fellowship with him. We're walking in step with him. Now, oftentimes, marriages fall apart because there is not communication, one, either honest communication, and that's real significant, honest communication, truthful communication. What does it say? That if we're going to worship God, we are to worship him in spirit and truth. You know, so we want to worship him in spirit and in truth. We want to have fellowship with him in that way. That's where we connect up with him, in the realm of the spirit, in spirit and truth. We got to be honest. You know, God knows who we are. We want to be honest. And the same thing is true. Honest communication with one another is important, especially when we look at marriage and family that way, and that it bears fruit. We want to bear fruit in the fellowship that we have. We want to bear fruit in that abiding relationship. And it's going to happen as we have a fellowship with him. We're going to walk in lockstep with him. In other words, if there's no good communication, everybody starts going their own way. And this is what often happens in marriages. People just, the term is used, well, we just grew apart. Well, how did that happen? If you trace it back, somebody stopped talking. Somebody got distanced from the us, and the us became an I. It was no longer a we. It just became an I. And so the I starts going off by itself, and the us starts to die off. And so it's really important. The same is true. The Lord is always there. He will never what? Leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. But the abiding part, it's really kind of a term that's like present and accounted for. In other words, I'm there. I'm in that place of intimacy with God. I aspire to be close with Him. This is what's so important about our worship time, that we avail ourselves and our people that are worshipers, not just as we gather together, but that we live a life that we worship the Lord, that our eyes are looking towards the Lord. We're focused on Him. We're looking to Him to give us guidance and direction. So this idea of abiding in Him and then following Him, this is really going to be, it's going to be revealed that you are abiding in Him because you're walking like He walked. Now, how did He walk? This is where it gets into it. He walked, as we find, as we go on just a little bit further. Brethren, I write to you no new commandment. We start getting into the idea of how did He walk. I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you. Well, which is it? I'm getting confused here. Which thing is true in Him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Well, what is it? Is there a new commandment or is it just the old commandment, or what commandments are we talking about? You know, it's the terms that are used here. There really is no new idea being put forth. That's what He's basically saying. It's not some brand new concept. It's just that He's saying that there is nothing new in that sense. I write no new commandment to you. But then He goes on and uses this other term. He's talking about in verse 8, something that's fresh. So it's not this legalistic bondage thing that He's talking about. He's talking about something that's fresh, and it's the work of the Spirit. And what is that commandment? That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law is summed up in these two. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But all of the law is summed up in those two things. And so we see that is what He's talking about. And yet it really isn't anything new, but He's saying it's fresh. There's something fresh about this. You know, I think that's something, that term and what was used there as He went into verse 8 and says, a new commandment I write to you. And the term is, there something that's fresh. That's what he's saying there in the original language, something fresh. I think that's important and significant to us today. Is that fresh in your life? Is the love of God something that you find to be fresh today in your life? Are you sensing just that fresh infusion that comes from abiding with Him and from walking the way He walks, which is in love? He walked in love. That is how He lived. This is how He showed us to live, was to live and to have a life based on love. And that love is not a love that is a human understanding terms, but it is a spiritual concept. It is that agape love, that love that transcends beyond the human understanding. It's not just a family bond of love. It's not just a friendship bond of love, but it is something that where we understand that God first loved us. God first loved me. God first loved you. You know, what was John's, what did Jesus name, you know, John's brother? Sons of Thunder. You know, these guys were a little, they were wound a little bit tight, you know, maybe early on. Wound a little bit tight, a little bit quick with things, maybe a little short fused maybe. But man, as we see, as he grew in his relationship with the Lord, man, he's just the guy that all he could write about was the love. You know why I really think this to be true? Is because he knows who he is, just like Peter knew who he was apart from the Lord. And it's not that we dwell there, but man, when we know who we are apart from the Lord and we know who Jesus is in our lives, and man, I always marvel. This, brothers and sisters, brings in something fresh. Because we marvel at the reality that, man, God loves me. God loves me just as I am. A little sideways sometimes in our thinking, you know, all the different, but God loves us right where we're at today. Well, I really didn't have that good a week. I really did this, and I thought about that, and I got caught up in this. And that's all right, man. The Lord loves you. today, just as he's always loved you. That, when we realize that, it brings something fresh into our lives. That is that new commandment. See, it's not something really brand new, nothing new under the sun type thing. It's not a new idea or concept he's putting forth, but it should be something that's fresh, something that's real today, something that's important to you and significant. It changes your whole perspective. Love changes your whole perspective. Agape love changes everything. Because when we realize that he first loved us, and then in turn, now I'm able, because of that love that he's placed in my life, I open my life up to him and he's placed that love, I can respond now with that love back to the Lord. And then I can love other people, friends, family, people I don't even like, I can love with this same love. That's the love that was on the cross, you see. And that's the kind of love that the Lord wants us to have. I really believe, as we're kind of just kind of turning the page as a ministry, I think that you, as a body of believers in Jesus Christ, have a lot of awesome things to offer. I really believe that. And I really believe one of the things that you really have to offer is not some big mega church plan, some big better system and all that stuff. I don't think that's what you have to offer. I don't think that's what we have to offer as a fellowship. What we have to offer is authenticity. Authenticity in fellowship based on the person of Jesus Christ. This is why I think this is so timely for us. And authenticity in love. The world, our society around us is looking for those things. We want to be a part. We want to have, we want a sense of community. We live in a world that's not real community-oriented anymore. You know what I'm saying? As a whole, our world's not like that. But man, in the body of Christ, in the true body of Christ, there should be that sense of community. When you travel a little bit, you find that when you go places and you hook up with other Christians, you find, wow, you have a sense of community. That's koinonia. It's the sense of fellowship that you share. And authenticity, that's what you have to offer. An authentic, real, living relationship with God, where God's become a part of your life and something has really changed and there is love there. Love that maybe wasn't there before, but is there now. Love for people that maybe you wouldn't love normally or naturally, but you have a heart for them. That's powerful. That will change society around us. It's changed us personally, and we are a part of society, and it will change more people and will have a transforming power. That's what you and I have to offer. We have some better, there's no better mousetrap. And we're not trying to take fish from one pond and put them in another pond. That's not our objective. We are looking for people that are looking for God. We are looking for those that God's wanting to make himself known to. How do you know who that person's going to be? Wow, that's the funny part. You don't. You don't. So you throw the seeds out wherever you can and you share it and you give that opportunity. It's so important. This is the idea that he's saying. It's something that's fresh in your life. It's something that's fresh in my life. So it's not just this new commandment, not a new commandment. What is it? It's just a simple thought that, man, he's saying, hey, that love of God that's always been there, that you've always heard about, that you know about, man, it needs to be fresh. How do you keep it fresh? By realizing, man, who would I be apart from God? Where would I be apart from God? Any given day, what would be going on apart from God? Man, if I got Jesus in my life, man, I know God loves me. I know he can love others in the same type of a way. It's awesome. Let's go on to verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So if we say that we're walking in the light, hey, we're right on for the Lord, we have fellowship with God, we're walking in the light, and yet there's a comma after that, and hates his brother, comma, there's a problem. There's a problem if we say that we're experiencing this, because in the light is where we're in this place of abiding, and we're following, what was the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we got these things there. Man, if I'm really focused on the Lord, I got a right relationship with God. Again, it's reflecting back to me saying, Jim, you know who you really are. Oh, yes, I do. You know the dark places. Oh, yeah. Yep. Sure about them. Yep. And you know that that's sin. Yep. So you're basically the same as everybody else. Yep. What's the difference? Born again. I met Jesus Christ. That's the only difference. God's taken all my sin, washed and cleansed me, forgiven me. That's the difference. And when I see that, then I look at the people around me in a different light. They're the same as you, same. Everybody's the same. It's just you have the grace of God activated in your life. You've got hope. You've got everlasting life. That's so much better than anything that the world could ever offer, ever, in any way, shape, or form. So if you say you're in the light, but have hatred for others, you're really deceived because you're in darkness. Because in the light, there's fellowship. I understand that everybody's not going to see everything exactly the same. I understand that, but there should still be agape in your heart for people. There should still be an interest of God's best for them that should be in our hearts. If it's not there, plead with the Lord and ask God to put it there. Be honest. If that happens to me, I'm honest with the Lord because the Lord already knows anyway. Right? So it's better to be honest with God and say, God, you know what? I am really struggling with this. It's not there and I want it there. And God will do the work by the power of his Holy Spirit. He is able to do that. If he took us out of the complete darkness we were in before, he can sure help with a few shadow spots, don't you think? I believe that. I believe he can do that for us. His word would assure us of that. So we know that this love is the sum of all of the things that the commands, the commandments that were given to us. We know that it's something that should be fresh. And it's something that the Holy Spirit infuses into our lives. In verse 10 now, though, as we go on, he says, because we don't want to walk in darkness, he says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He's not going to be, that's verse 10, yes. There's no stumbling in him. So we can be in fellowship with the Lord. We're not going to stumble around. We're not going to stumble ourselves or others. We're going to be in right fellowship with him. You know, as you look through this, you kind of get to the point where you wonder, well, okay, who is it? I'm sitting in a group of people. Who is it that I'm supposed to love then? The person that offered me some of their Coke? I'm talking soda pop here. The person that offered me, because sometimes in different circles of people you could hang out with, they could offer you a lot of different things. But the person that offered me part of their bagel, or is that the person? Oh, I should befriend them and love them. You know, which person am I supposed to hang with and display the love of God? Let's go over to Luke chapter 10 real quick. Jesus answered this very clearly for us. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. You remember the Pharisees, most of which were lawyers, stood up and tested him, saying, and they were always trying to do this, testing him, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" He says, not only what's there, but what, how do you see it? So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." He says, man, you know what? If you focus on this, man, you are at the very precipice of everlasting life. This is what it's all about. To follow Jesus, to let, you know, follow God, let the love of God be in your life, have your heart set on him. And then, and of course, also, if your heart is set on the Father, you're going to see the Son. You're going to see both. If your heart's set on the Father, you're going to see the Son. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You know, if this love my neighbor is myself, well, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down," and he talked to him in a parable. This is so cool how the Lord responded to him. "Went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." So now he's laying in a ditch on the side of the road. Give you a word, you know, word picture. Laying in the ditch, side of the road. He's kind of bloodied and beaten up. He's half dead. He has nothing. He's been stripped of everything, and he's just wallowing there, waiting to die off. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Whew! Don't want to get involved. That looks messy. That looks like a problem. I don't want to get involved in that. Passed on. Didn't want to defile himself. Didn't want to get involved. Just stayed away from it. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Same thing. Now, understand that this is the priests and the Levites. These are the religious leaders of their time. These are the people that you would think would be the most compassionate. You would think would be the most the people that have a heart for other people. That would be the concept, at least, that's developed in my mind. But a certain Samaritan, just a regular old fella, somebody that these other people wouldn't look too favorably upon, starts walking along. And as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He saw the guy's need. He saw what was happening to him. I think it's easy for us as Christians to kind of get into the Christian, if you're willing to use the term, bubble a little bit, and you can lose sight of what it maybe you felt like or what was going on in your life when you were in the world. The emptiness, the despair, the disgust with yourself. I had a conversation just on this trip that with someone who was just, you know, just disgusted with himself, disgusted with their sin, disgusted with their lifestyle. I share with them, but man, you know, the Lord can change that, but you've got to let the Lord in to change it. The Lord can change what's going on in you, but you've got to let him in. He's not going to force entry on this. I had compassion. I've been that person. I've been the person that sat there and just cried because I was just so disgusted with myself. Disgusted with sin, disgusted with the ramifications of sin, all of it. And the bummer of it all. This guy had compassion. He saw him. He said, man, look what happened to him, you know. And so he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he kind of was caring for this guy. You could see how he ministered to his needs. Even gave him a good ride in, you know, just really, really gave him a real right standing, you know, in the situation. Just can we just transfer this a little bit to anybody coming through the doors of a gathering that we have? I don't care where we are. I'm talking about anywhere we are, anybody coming through the doors that maybe is in need, maybe is hurting, maybe has been through some stuff. And to me, see, it doesn't matter what the stuff is. Sin is sin. I don't care what the stuff is. It's just sin. And whatever that is doesn't matter. What matters is that, man, we get out the oil. We get out the bandages. We minister to the need. Now, what is the real need? We know the real need is to know Jesus Christ. We want to minister in that way. Minister to the needs as they come through the doors. You see, this is so important for us because this is what love does. This is the explanation of loving your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? How do I love him? So he bandaged him up, took him to the inn, took care of him. On the next day, verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. You know what? He goes, put it on my account, man. You know, if this guy needs something, just make sure he's got it. When he leaves, if there's money owed, man, for whatever time he spent there or whatever, put it on my tab. When I come back through, I'll square up for you. You ever been in real need before? I'm not talking a chronic state of need. You might have another problem. Really, you might have a serious other problem if you're in a chronic state of need. But I'm talking about, you ever really been in a dire strait before? In a situation that you can't make heads or tails of and see daylight in it? It's ugly. It's very unpleasant. It's very demeaning. And it's very uncomfortable. And you don't know what to do because it all turns into a big fog. It's hard to see your way through. All the tough guys, you know, all you tough guys, it's easy to start thinking, oh, yeah, well, you know, they just have to buckle up and deal with it. And yeah, right. You'll find out. If you got that attitude, you'll find out. Because there are no tough guys in the kingdom except for one, that's Jesus Christ. There's no other tough guys. We're all flesh. You know, we're but dust. And man, Jesus is here describing compassion. Looking past that circumstance, saying, wow, man, there's a need there. crying with people that are hurting is not a shameful thing. I'm not talking about just being an emotional basket case and blubbering because someone else is blubbering. I'm talking about just, you know, your eye. You can't, sometimes it's part of compassion. You see that situation, you go, man, I'm sorry you're hurting, man. If you've been there, you know what it feels like, and there's a sense. And please understand how important this is to know this in your heart, that any it could happen to any one of us. You can fall into some tough times sometimes, and no one's exempt from that. And you look at this, you say, man, how do you want to be dealt with? I want to be dealt with and ministered to by the Samaritan. I want him to swing by my place, man, and help me out. This guy's right on. He's cool. Hey, you know, that's loving people. You know what? That's blessing them. That's encouraging them and helping them out, whatever the need might be. I'll square up with it. I'll take care of it. Man, that's so awesome. Verse 36. So Jesus poses the question back to the attorney. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. He says, man, that's your example. So who is my neighbor? Somebody that I come across. Somebody who comes across my path. It's the people you're sitting around and near today. That's your neighbor, and it's the people that you work with. It's the people you run into out in the marketplace. It's wherever you are. It's the people you're sitting next to on an airplane, on a train, in a traffic jam. It's the cars around. Those are your neighbors. Those are your neighbors and my neighbors. So it's not just a physical location in that sense of the where your house is and the people that live next door. It's wherever you are as a Christian. And whoever you're in contact with that has need, that is your neighbor. And so we see this, man, how important it is. You remember, we've discussed this before in Vine's expository dictionary. He says of love, this agape love, that it is best described by the actions that it prompts or the things that it promotes. That love is best described that way. In other words, the best definition for love is the action that it prompts in your life and my life. If we love someone, we will do certain things. If we care about someone, we will do certain things. And this type of love is a love that is not thinking of itself or repayment for what was done. See, do you notice the example there? Hey, if there's a charge due, man, put it on my tab. He can't get repaid for it. You know, Jesus even told us that. What have you done if you just love those who love you, you know, in return? Or lent to the person that you know can pay you back? What about giving to someone that you know there's not going to be any chance of getting it back? That's a great opportunity. And the Lord will do that in your life. He'll lay it on your heart from time to time. You may just see somebody or some situation. Matter of fact, I had something happen this last week that was kind of like that. It was just a vagabond person, you know, that I'll never see again. And it was just an opportunity. I'll never see it. Don't want it. You know, it's done. That's the way the Lord wants us to do things. Just boom, do it. Now, God also gives us discernment, you know, about that. You know, I don't want to support alcoholism. I don't want to support drug addicts. I don't want to support, you know what I mean? I don't want to be supportive of that. God hasn't called us to that. But man, to meet needs, to care for people, to love them. This is what Jesus did. This was his desire. So if we're abiding in this light, as he says here, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. You know, I think that this simply stated is that love is always the right thing to do. It's always the right thing to do to love somebody, to be merciful, have compassion on them, to love them, to display, to do acts that are displaying the love of Jesus Christ. That is always right. You will never miss it. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe they need a good knock in the noggin. I'm not sure. You know, don't try and figure it out. Just love them. Just love. Love will always be the right thing to do. I've been around a lot of, you know, different rebellious teens and all kinds of things. And a lot of times, all the Lord has me do whenever I see him is I hug them. That seems really lame to me. As a person, that seems lame to me. And yet, it's what the Lord puts on my heart a lot of times in those situations. I find out later, oftentimes years later, you know, man, dude, you don't know what that meant. It was like every time I saw you, dude, it was just weird. It was like you just came over and just like hugged me. But then later they tell you, man, but you know what was radical? It was, man, that was part of the thing that the Lord used to draw me into fellowship with him, man. I really sensed God's love when you did that. Too easy to get in too many reprimands and too much trying to figure too many things out. Man, just love people, man. Let God sort out everything else. We will never, ever, as a people, as a body, as individuals, we'll never go wrong if we love. We will never go wrong. We'll never miss it. We'll always be on target with the Lord. Verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, I think it's great when we get in a spot where we're not sure what's happening, things are going on around us, to let the Lord search our hearts, as the Bible says, the psalmist says, you know, Lord, you search my heart. See if there's anything in there. You search my heart, God. I can't always find things going on, but God, you search my heart. Because bitterness, hatred, anger towards anyone will always lead you or me or anybody else into darkness. Bitterness, hatred, or anger will always lead to darkness. Because in the Lord, there's love and there's light. And that's where the light is, in the Lord. But when we go down, and what is bitterness and some of these anger and some of this hatred, what does it stem from a lot of times? I think it's that placing unreasonable or unrealistic expectations on others. Placing unreasonable or unrealistic expectation on others fosters bitterness, fosters anger, because we have a preset concept of how everything's supposed to be. And then if it's not like that, bam, it's, you know. But wait a minute, I could never even live up to that. I can't live up to my own things in my mind. I can't even do it. So why would I hold charge to somebody else? So this is where really that idea, in love, there is forgiveness. In love, there is forgiveness. There is an acceptance of one another. We, marriages, families, brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, we would find that acceptance of one another in the Lord will develop wonderful fellowship in marriage, in family, everything. Now, I'm not talking about condoning sin. Don't misunderstand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, man, that love and that acceptance of someone, this is where someone's at, and helping to let the Lord love on them and helping to let this take its own course to get it back to where the Lord wants it to be. And to accept people where they're at is powerful. It opens things up. My oldest son, traveling recently, they had lost some paperwork and gotten confused on what airline they were even on, some different things had happened to them. And he goes, yeah, Dad, you know, he goes, really went pretty good this time. Because my son's kind of a detail-y kind of guy. Yeah, I know you wouldn't know it by meeting or talking with him, but he actually is. He just doesn't appear to be that way, but he actually is pretty detail-oriented. And he goes, man, it was really cool, Dad. You know, I really didn't get angry or anything this time. It really went okay. I said, well, gosh, great. That's a miracle, a work of God in your life. You know, that's good. And we were just kind of talking about it, and he said, I really realized, you know, that being married, you know, we have different gifts, you know, and his wife's really good with power tools and stuff. It's really an amazing thing. And he's not. I assure you, he is not. He should have no power tools in his hand or near him that are plugged in. But he just goes, you know, isn't it, it's such a cool thing. We're different, but the two make one whole that's right. And I said, there you got it. That's what the Bible's talking about. That's what the Lord's doing in your life. And that's the going past the false expectation and enjoying the uniqueness of the us, the together. It's good that you're different, or else you'd be something other than what you are. You know? It's good that you're different. It's important that you're different. Forgiveness is very significant for us in our relationships in love. Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35 discusses that. And I'll let you read that for extracurricular reading. So if I'm really in close fellowship with the Lord, bust this down real quick. If I'm in real close fellowship with the Lord, I will do what he says. Simply stated, I'm just going to do what he says. And I want to do what he says. The heart in me wants to do what he says. That's the first thing. If I'm in close fellowship, I want to do what he says. See, if I'm getting distant in, maybe I'm not wanting to do what he says. And that's a good flags. Yellow flags should be waving. Hey, you're getting a little bit off the path here. So I can say, okay, I want to do what he says. I want to get my heart right in that. And the next thing we find is I'll keep his word. I'm going to want to walk with him in that way. I want to know him. I want to stay in the word. I'll be a doer of the word. And the next third thing we find is I will abide in him. That fellowship, that staying in intimacy with the Lord, that present and accounted for. The next one we find is that I will have his love in my heart for other people. Just simple. Just simple truths to build our lives upon. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for the truth that you've given us from your word, that heartfelt conviction that John shares regarding loving one another. Lord, we want to walk in that light that you have given us. We know you're the light of the world and that you've called us to be the light of the world. And so, Lord, we just pray that nothing would hinder that light shining through our lives, that we might bring you honor and glory, Lord. We thank you that you love us with that perfect love and that we can be together, a community of believers. That, Lord, it's not that we have some better ideas than anybody else or better anything than anybody else, but, Lord, we have authenticity. We have your love activated in our lives. We know who we are and where we've been, and yet we know the reality of your love, the transforming power of your grace and mercy upon our lives. And Lord, we have that fellowship, that true enjoyment of your presence in our lives and in one another's lives, Lord. Lord, may we continue to display these things. May those things be the benchmark, Lord, your presence. May that be evidenced wherever we are and whatever's going on, that they would know we are your disciples by our love. Lord, may those things be true continually of us. And we just want to continue to see you move in an awesome way. In Jesus' name.